If you would like more Time Pop, please check out patreon.com/soundsawesome.
Hello? Hello?
Hello?
Hello?
If you can hear this, it's not too late. I return to warn you. This is Time Pop, a podcast that discusses time travel in pop culture. There are spoilers. I've seen the future, and nothing is sacred to these folks. Your past, present, and future are sure to be ruined. Even if you could go back in time, as I have, you will never forget what you are about to hear. You've been warned. This is Time Pop.
I think we'll be okay. I think we just need to settle in a little bit.
Let's just settle in, everybody.
Let's just settle in. Let's just have a little chit-chat before we start official. How's it going, Scott?
Oh, man. It's good. Usual things.
Yeah.
Saw Hunky Jesus the other day. Did a little hiking, enjoying the nice weather, getting schoolwork done. Always lots of schoolwork.
Yeah. And you know why we have to learn these lessons, Scott, and make mistakes?
So we can travel through time?
Because we don't have a time machine. Otherwise, we just fuck. You know what? I'd have my taxes in on time every year. You know, no.
Every year.
No one knows that I didn't do it until July and just use my time machine to come back and submit them appropriately. But that's, you know, that's our little secret. Welcome, Chrononauts. As actually, you know what? I should use my narrator voice. Welcome, Chrononauts, as we guide you through the experience of time travel using pop culture as our Nintendo GameCube. We will be your constants. I am Dez.
And I am Scott. And this is Time Pop. Thank you for attending.
Welcome.
The restrooms are located in the rear. Thank you for joining us. We hope you find your stay to be pleasant.
We need to explain this movie right off the bat so people understand what we're talking about. We watched The History of the Time Machine. It is a mockumentary, which is weird to say because I feel like I've never watched a mockumentary that isn't inherently comedic. Have you?
And this does have that a little bit, but yeah. No, I don't know. And this does have, yeah, I mean.
Oh, sorry. The History of Time Travel, not The Time Machine.
Yes, that's important because also The Brief History of Time. Don't get it confused. That's an actual documentary. This is The History of Time.
2004. How have we done this podcast for 10 years and this just happened?
It's a really good point. And this has been around for 10 years. It doesn't pop up on lists and it absolutely should. There's definitely films on these lists that this one is better than.
Yes.
Somewhere in Time. and I think maybe because it gets thrown in the mockumentary, although I passed it thinking it's a real documentary and clicked on it and then be like, oh, but somehow, I don't know, this didn't get brought up because this one, this is a pretty interesting film. This is, again, we're in this jaded spot where we've seen everything, we've done everything. Okay, they have a device, they use it for fun, but then things get wrong and they try to fix it, blah, blah, blah. And we've seen it all. And this is a different take. This was fun. This is unique.
I do really want to see the dramatic version of this film. Like, I want to just see this movie now that this documentary is basically talking about.
Somebody wrote it would make, I saw some, like, I looked up some reviews to read about it. And like, someone said it would make a good TV series, you know, like to kind of catch up with all the stuff. I watched my first viewing of this movie. I watched it Desmond style and it was like other things going on. And then it was like, I stopped and I came back later. And then finally, like it hit me. I'll be very honest. The first time I watched this movie, it was late at night and the first 30 minutes are boring. And I was conking out. I was falling. Ari fell asleep in like 6 minutes.
Only 72 minutes, people.
Yeah. I was falling asleep. I would argue. I mean, now it's one of these films that like now I think it's genius, but the first 20 minutes, I'm like, this is pretty boring. Until Aiden gets mentioned, did my ears perk up, you know? Anyway, I kept falling asleep. I stopped it. I watched the next day. I was doing some work. I came back. And finally, when I finished the film, I was like, oh, I need to watch this again, don't I? So I watched this twice, which I don't normally do.
Wow.
I watched it with full attention. Yeah. Because there's a lot of like,
wow.
I picked up like one or two things changing in the background, like the Easter eggs. And then I was like, oh, there's a lot happening here. The costume changes, the story changes, the props, like this film is got some detail to it.
It's I've tried to watch this movie several times because it's one of those movies that I've brought up before. And it's just like, you know, you and Ari are just kind of like, we'll get to it. And so I kept kind of trying to watch it to be like, we have to watch this movie. And I tried to watch it dev style. I was like, well, I don't want to watch it, because if I watch it for the show, then I'm going to watch it. So I just want to get through it so that I can recommend it. And it does, it only takes, if you're half doing one thing and half listening to this movie, it doesn't take very long before you're like, there's something going on here that I need to watch. I need to pay attention to this. So then I would just turn it off. I'd be like, I'll watch it later. And then I'd put it off for another 6 months.
For those of you that, if it's the first episode, watching it dead style means like you're probably also editing something and it's on in the background and you're watching something and you're doing three things and you're kind of half watching it.
I put things on like usually for the show, I'm good. Like once we lock something down,
yeah,
I watch it. But yeah, I always have a TV going on in the background. Like most people have NPR playing.
Yeah. He's a multitasker. He's probably knitting and he's editing and he's watching a thing and the radio's on and he's cooking.
Playing a lot of Tony Hawk Pro Skater. A lot of Tony Hawk Pro Skater.
Totally. Who isn't? So this film was fun. This was a surprise. And again, first out, I was like, this is boring. It's poorly acted. It's low budge. It's like barely anything's happening. And then, like I said, your ears perk up at one point when you start realizing that the timeline is shifting and you start realizing that they're changing little details in the, it's a mockumentary and the interviews, their clothing changes, the background items change. And then all of a sudden you realize that they're, it's a mockumentary, such a unique way to tell this, because as time has changed, what they're telling you about history is changing. And so it's smart, right?
Like you said, I rewound it 3 times.
Uh-huh.
Because I was like, who is Aiden? How did I miss Aiden? Like, I'm pretty
sure. They specifically said she was very sad. She wanted to have a brother for Edward and she would never have the chance because they were very specific.
Yeah.
And they're like, Aiden, his brother. They just come into it. So yeah. So what happens in this film? Mockumentary. It's all being told in the interview style of like historians, sci-fi writers. And as they're saying certain things and someone goes back and changes time, all of a sudden, there's elements in the story that are changing in the interviewers. So, for example, there's a big one where in the film, they're talking about the mother of the character. And like, she was very sad to never be able to have a sibling for her son. And then she dies. And at a random point later on, they're like, Aiden, his brother, came to his rescue. And you're like, what? Wait, what? So they don't stop for you. And they go into it. And there's different, you can only tell, the story is telling a story by what you don't see.
Yeah.
By the time travel that must have happened. They'll be like, yeah, then so-and-so got a time machine. And then next thing you know, someone else is wearing a different outfit and they're saying something different about history, to the effect of there's even versions where like the Russians were the first ones on the moon. And additionally, like for those of you that like to pay attention to details and Easter eggs, in the different timelines, once things have shifted, their clothing is different. The people being interviewed, the background is different.
Really? I did not. I noticed a few back.
The globe was different. Did you notice the globe? What do you want to talk about first? Do you want to talk about plot? Do you want to go on the Easter eggs?
I want you to talk about Easter eggs because noticed a shockingly few of them.
Okay. I'll go to the first. The first obvious one is the background. There's the guy from Harvard. In the background, he's got like a little glass container. And it looks like it's like a piece of the moon. And he's got the moon in the background.
Yeah.
Then there's like a thing with Kennedy in it. Then there is one where it says Nixon killed.
That's right. Okay, that one I did notice.
And then at the end again, it was back. Nixon wasn't killed. I forgot. It was back to the moon. Like things got reset. So he has 3 different setups. Also, did you notice the attire changes? So that guy at the beginning has got a different colored jacket, shirt, and tie. And it's like well-kept and up to the top. Later on, he's got like a black jacket and the tie. And the tie is loose and unbuttoned. What's interesting is the other guy that they interviewed at the beginning also has a proper tie up and a vest. Then later on, he's interviewed with just a tie and shirt. It's unbuttoned and the tie is down in the same timeline. In the timeline where like the Russians have kind of won, these guys are a little more lackadaisical, which is kind of an interesting take of like the more that the Russians are in power, the more they're like, ah, and well, the more the.
Wow. So this is why you need to watch this movie more than once, because I watched it once and was like so focused on what they were saying.
Yeah.
And of course I had the subtitles on too. So I was spending a lot of time reading the subtitles, making sure, especially once they tongue tied me with Aiden, I was all words.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, I need to listen to what they're saying and catch it. So I missed a lot of the clothing change.
So yeah. So like what Desmond and I are both saying is, like I said, the first 30 minutes were tiring and he's like doing whatever. essentially, they're just doing a mockumentary. They're talking about a guy that invented time travel. People are interviewing him. It's kind of low budge. It's a little bit boring. And then somewhere, you know, they're talking about someone going back in time. And all of a sudden, they're talking about a brother that never existed prior.
Yeah.
And that's when Desmond and I are both like, oh, the moment that you just get what's starting to happen. And that keeps happening. They keep changing it. The woman who is the sociologist, her outfit also changed. One time her hair was down.
Yep.
And she's turned out. The other time it's back and there's glasses. The guy that is in the school classroom, his globe changes. And I think when the Russians take over, there's more lands that are red that you see that are like red occupied, I think. And it goes back.
Yeah, I think the few times I did notice that, I just took it as, you know, often in real documentaries, they have to do more than one interview. And so I took it like that. Okay, I see all the...
It's clever. And this is a great example of how do you do a low budget? And this is, my friends, this is low. This was the guy's college film.
Yeah.
Low budget. It's just interviews with people and stock footage. And how can you make a really interesting time travel film? And so far, the best example we saw was like the 1 minute time machine, which is a short. But I'll bet you that has a higher budget than this has. Like the film quality and the actor quality, it might be on par with this one.
Like, or what's the one where they're at the hotel with the guy and the girl?
Oh, yeah. That's also 40. Is that 41? Or
no, that's not 41. That's we always mix. Why can't I never think of that? It's such a good one, too.
Yeah, they're just two people at a hotel, but they just.
Yeah, and they just found a rundown, you know, Australian roadside hotel.
Anyway, it's rare to see it. This guy's college film, and it's such a different take. They talk at the beginning about storytelling, too. And like, we always see time travel as narrative. To see it through a documentary where you are seeing time shift in the documentary, but you've been watching it, so you know what existed before. So you're seeing what happens again by what you don't see. It's so unique.
Well, because it's so weird. Because, yeah, you spend the first half hour thinking, like, this is going to get nuts. Like, you know, they're going to talk about how someone accidentally brought a dinosaur to the future or to the present, or how someone went into the future and saw like something crazy. And then you realize that it's just a family drama playing out, like, because you're watching a documentary about the history of time travel. So you're like, this is going to be a global, globe-trotting, insane story. And then it just kind of, like, and it's perfect because that's what happens with time travel. Like, you invent time travel, you test time travel, and immediately shit gets nuts.
Yeah.
Because you have fucking time travel at your fingertips.
And they keep it simple. Like, it's about this one family and kind of their struggles about being obsessed, you know, ignoring your family with time travel. There's a lot about the Cold War, clearly, that comes into it, and like World War II. And it's
Yeah, this is the American history of time travel.
Yeah,
this is not because they talk. We have no idea. Well, we kind of have an idea what the Russians were doing, but we never see it. The one thing I really noticed, because I'm a fucking nerd, is how the video game system kept changing.
It wasn't always Atari?
No,
I did not notice that.
No, it was an Atari, and then it was a Nintendo Entertainment Center.
Oh, when they said they couldn't get their hands on an Atari,
and then it was a Super Nintendo. And then it was, I feel like there might have been there was at least three of them, but they never said Nintendo because Atari,
yeah.
I think, is in,
right.
You can say Atari and not get sued.
Wow.
But they blurred out the Nintendo was kind of blurry and hard to focus on.
Wow.
But it was definitely two different Nintendo systems, the 80s and the 90s Nintendo system. So
I think every episode you and I should have a nerd award for like whoever just says, like, if I pick some comic book thing or whatever, like, yeah. You win the nerd award. I did not pick up on that.
Ooh, Scott noticed the tie change.
they talked this film also, you know, we're always looking for films that actually go into theory, and like they cover a lot of things. They're really smart. They talk in the beginning about the two different theories, the one where you start the alternate when you make a change, you're making a different timeline. And if you go into the future, you're going into that future. I call that the Back to the Future 2. Method, right? He's like, now you got to go to the bit future. The only way to change it is go to the past. And they talked about the fixed timeline idea, where if you go back and change something, the timeline still continues, and it means you've always done it that way, and that's been part of the timeline. And I think they kind of cover both of those theories in this film.
They talk about it. I don't think...
Depends how you want to look at it. Maybe not. Maybe it's more the alternate, but...
No, I think this is all butterfly effect.
I mean, it's all the alternate timeline. It's all Back to the Future 2. So
no, it's all.
You think it's all always happened? Because they did a lot of changes.
And every time.
Yeah. But then at the end, they do a final change. Oh, like Butterfly Effect.
Like Butterfly Effect. So that means they don't get into it, but that means they had to have. Oh, my God. I love that.
But I don't think they've always happened. I don't think it's always happened this way because different things have shifted.
But every time they go back in time, everybody in the future forgets what it used to be.
Right, right.
So if what you're saying, then that would mean, okay, first of all, let's talk about the elephant in the room. This movie is terribly, terribly flawed.
Okay.
Because for this movie to make sense, somebody has to travel through time and collect each version of the documentary.
Oh, well, I know what you're saying.
Because the way this movie is, this movie is the Butterfly Effect, which means by the end of, by 20, let's just say 2030, let's just make up a date in the future. By 2030, there's only one version of history that anyone remembers.
Right.
And therefore, there would only be one version of this documentary that ever got made.
Well, here's what I think. I know what you're saying. Well, here's the concept I think they're trying to do. Desmond's point, which is valid, I thought of this, is like, let's say you're 30 minutes through the documentary and now time has shifted that something didn't happen. You'd be back at the beginning of the documentary, but like we're still halfway through it. I think the thought is as the viewer, we're seeing it. It's shifting for them, but we've already seen it. It's for us. We can't erase our memory of it, but they're kind of starting when they do it. That being said, to your point, at the end, time travel never happened. Would they have done a documentary about almost time travel happening? Probably not.
Maybe. I mean, there's a lot of there. Well, you notice the name of the movie changes at the end. Did you notice that?
No.
It's The Theory. The history of The Theory of time
travel. Oh, it's okay. So they're doing a pretty good job. They're covering their tracks.
Yeah.
Because it's like it's a special on TV on this time travel. And it starts off with like, hey, when this guy invented time travel, it changed everything. And at the end, they're like, here's a story of how time travel almost happened, but didn't. Join us next week.
So you just fixed this movie for me, Scott.
You're welcome. That's what I'm here for. They call me the fixer, the plumber.
Because if I was watching this movie.
I thought what you thought too, though.
As people were going back in time, the butterfly effect would take place in the middle of this movie.
Right. They can't do that. The only way that they could have done that for us, which could have been really interesting, is if all of a sudden, every time that it shifted, it would start from the beginning of the documentary. But we still have seen what we've seen.
Exactly. We can't.
So, yeah. So they are playing to you. The job is for you. They don't know. You know the story and they don't.
The only way for this to work is when you're watching the movie in the middle of it, somebody clubs you in the back of the head. And then when you regain consciousness, they pick up where they left off.
But how cool would it? Wouldn't it have been cool if every time there was a shift, it starts at the beginning? It would be boring as fuck for us. And you'd always have to do the opening. But that would be really cool that every time the documentary is starting fresh. Anyway, the point is we're as the viewer, that's whatever. That's the thing. We can't erase our memory. Their timeline is they don't know, but we know.
So because of that, don't you agree that this documentary takes place in the Butterfly Effect world?
Well, Butterfly Effect is the whole, that's all in his brain. So that I think that's a little hard to compare to.
Well, no, just not the movie. The movie's terrible. The concept of the Butterfly Effect, that if you go back in time and change something,
yes,
everybody just forgets the previous.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there's Reaper. Although they did have the mother had dreams of being stabbed by a needle, which is from a different timeline. So there was a little bleed over. They are suggesting that, like, we're not meant to do this.
No, because she actually got stabbed by the needle.
I know. But that she had a dream of it in a different timeline.
No.
Oh, you're right. It did happen. You're right.
I think.
It's a memory.
Until the very, very, very end. Now, at the very, very, very end.
She still has to get stabbed with the needle, right?
Oh. No, because he's attentive. If the husband's.
So you don't get polio because he's attentive?
You care for it sooner and you don't die from it.
Should we try to do a breakdown of the plot if we can do it quick? Is that... Wait, I think I can do it. I think I can do it.
I think you can. I just wasn't sure if it was too late for us to pretend.
Yeah, if it's too late. Sorry, folks. You know, time is not linear. Neither is this podcast. I'm not going to do the full thing, but like the basic breakdown.
Scott,
yeah.
We have to start this whole podcast over.
Hey, welcome to
Chrononauts.
Ooh, we should do our episodes like that. start with like new jokes. I'll be grumpy.
In 5 years, people can just listen to all five Groundhog Days in a row.
Okay,
that'll,
fair.
That'll be their version.
Okay. It is a mockumentary told from all these other historians, whatever. That's not even important. They talk about Edward, who is a person that worked on a time travel device around World War II. They thought that'd be a great weapon. His wife dies of polio. They have a son. She dies before they have a second child.
And it's the Indiana Project.
The Indiana Project, not the Manhattan Project, right?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
And he becomes, because she dies, and he becomes obsessed with saving her. He works on the thing and ignores his child. His child goes up and tries to like also be a scientist, you know, to be close to his dad, get his approval.
A very classic time. Like, I feel like this kid wrote a script and then his teacher was like, you can't do this. And then he's like, okay, well, what if I do it? Like,
right.
Because the story within this documentary is well thought out. Like the father's, the son wanting the father's approval.
Yeah.
The father having regret for losing. Like, yeah, there's at least like a treatment of the dramatic version of this story out there.
Yeah.
Sorry.
So I'm trying to, in the first timeline, the dad ends up being frustrated and dying. I think his project ends up being scrapped and all this was for nothing. But the son years later, like, discovers the dad's blueprints and stuff. And he makes the time machine to go back to help his mom. Right. I think the first thing is polio. He was going to go back with the vaccine. Yeah. He was going back with the vaccine. So she didn't die from polio. Once he does that, I think, is that when Aiden comes in the picture? Yeah. That's when Aiden comes in the picture. Now, all of a sudden, in this documentary, they're like, he has a brother, because this woman lived past a little bit to make a brother. But they talk immediately. Yeah, since the car crash, the boys always missed having a mom. The dad, again, became obsessed. And as the boys got older, they thought if they had a time machine and they could get her out of the car accident.
Kind of in classic, a few things happened, kind of like, what do you call it?
With the military?
No, I'm trying to think of the movie where, you know, you escape death. And they like death.
Oh yeah, Final Destination.
Yeah, the mom gets.
Could that be in the Patreon? Is that Patreon worthy?
I
that's Escaping Fate. I've never seen him.
I fucking love. I've watched all five, and I'm
all right. I argue that could be on Patreon.
But I argue. I just want an excuse to watch him again and talk about him.
Folks, for those of you that subscribe to support our Patreon, we do things that are like time travel adjacent, things that are multiple universe. Or time dilation or reality distortion.
And mostly, you know, when you think about it, every movie is a distortion of reality. So if you recommend it, we'll watch it and talk about it because we work for you on the Patreon.
They're like, I want you to do Working Girl.
Exactly. We're done.
Oh, okay. Anyway. So like he's saying, so she, this time they go back to rescue her from a car accident. She survives. A car accident should have died in. And then in that reality, they go back to the future. And apparently in this, the mom's always kind of fucked in the head. She's a dark side. She's like, why did I live? She ends up committing suicide. Then they do another timeline, I think, where they're going to give the plans on how to build a time machine. They're going to go early to their dad who hadn't built it yet and just be like, here's the time machine. And in that reality, he has the time machine a lot earlier. So they think he's going to be attentive to the wife and the kids. In this timeline, the Russians find out about it. They steal the time machine. And then they get it. Because of that, a lot of things get changed. This is where, in this one, the Russians go to the moon first.
So is what's going on is the Russians are basically living through history. And then as soon as we do something, they make a plot to steal our blueprints.
Yep.
And then go back. But the Russians are smart about it, too, because they know, if they go before the time machine was invented, they might fuck. Something might get really screwed up. And they know not to the Russians land on the moon the day America is about ready to launch to the moon.
Yeah.
Or
the blueprints were made, I think. They had the blueprints and then they launched. Like as soon as they had the stuff, the Russians got it. Yeah, they had a person on the inside.
Yeah, but instead of going back like to 1950 and going to the moon. You know, they go back to 1969.
Oh, right.
They know.
That is true.
They know as long as they just beat us by a day, they'll be the superpower and they won't totally fuck up the timeline, because they also need America to keep kind of progressing how we've been progressing, you know, because if Russians go back to 1950 and, you know, or go back to 1920 and land on the moon and develop a nuclear weapon, then then the Russians won't know what's going to happen, because everything is changed forever. Which, you know, we will watch for Patreon at some point, is we will watch For All Man. We will watch an episode of For All Mankind.
Okay.
Because that show is an all. So far, there isn't time travel. We'll see what happens. That show's pretty fucking crazy. And maybe time travel comes in season 8. But it's a whole alternate history that gets everything starts to branch the day that the Russians beat us to the moon.
Oh, cool.
And everything just kind of starts to branch a little bit. And it's very, very interesting.
And when we have this timeline where the Russians have gotten the time machine also, so the boys came back and gave it to their dad really early on. And because they do that, he's not able to recreate the time machine, because he never got to like where he built the blueprints. They just handed it to him early. And so all the Americans are like, cool, build us another one. And it's taken forever because he can't, because he never learned. So, but that's an interesting way to look at it, right? They got him too early before he had made enough progress to figure it out.
And so then in the 90s, finally, after his dad is like just gone batty, because he's.
Yeah, because he's paranoid that the KGB and the CIA, they're all following him.
Which they are.
He ends up like, they are. He can't build a time machine. So he like retires, becomes a teacher, but everyone's following him. The Russians are running stuff. And all of the people interviewing us, for whatever reason, while the Russians are like in charge, they're all their suits are a little more like the ties aren't tied, like they care less, like. I don't know what that's supposed to show.
It seems like it would be the other way. Like there'd be a lot more gray suits. And we just gave up. We're just like, whatever, the Russians win. So we'll just.
I would have liked it better if a different person was being interviewed. Like if this person didn't become the head of Harvard in this new timeline, right? Like all these factors, butterfly. It shouldn't be the same people, or they're just not in the same room.
Or a couple.
Or you're right.
Not everyone would change. Not everyone would change.
But yeah. Just, yeah. One or two.
Per timeline, one person would change.
I think the doctor's hairstyle might have changed. The doctor woman.
It's just up and then down.
Yeah.
I think she may have got glasses. I feel like she didn't have glasses.
Glasses or not.
Yeah.
Anyway, so this is the Russian timeline. And then the dad dies, right? And it's sad.
And so then his dad doesn't die. His dad finally admits.
He kills him.
No, he finally admits to his. When does he admit to his sons?
One of these timelines. He takes the dad. Oh, no. The dad and the mom are both killed, and it's made to look like suicide. But they think it was either suicide or they were killed by like KGB or whatever.
That's right.
Because he started working on it years later. He's finally like, I got to fix all this.
No. Before. So he finally goes to his sons and says, look, you guys are the ones that invented time travel, and you brought it back to me. And then that's when.
And they don't believe him. He's like, oh, and I've time traveled, and the CIA and the KGB, they're like, dad, you're crazy.
And that's when everyone realizes that he's spilled the beans. And that's when murder-suicide is faked. And the sons know that it's faked. The son, there's a few clues that make it kind of obvious that it was faked, on top of the fact that the sons just don't believe it.
But then these sons find in their old house, they end up. The finding under the cupboards, like the plans, and then they build a new time machine.
It's weird. They say that like the,
Another thing, Desmond, another thing that goes back and forth is it always, Aiden is sometimes a doctor and sometimes also a scientist.
Yeah. I think it switches. I think one is always a scientist and one is always a doctor.
I think it's some, they were both. I don't remember. Anyway, I think then the boys talk about what to do with it. They're not supposed to do anything, but one clearly does. Anyway, it turns out that Aiden, they do go back, and this was cool in the movie, that they end up blowing up the dad's laboratory. And so the dad never had the time machine, and then he's just more attentive to his family. And this is the happy ending where everyone's good. She doesn't get polio. She doesn't get in the car accident. Both boys are born. The dad spends all this time with the boys. One is a doctor. One's a physicist. And this is where we're back to everyone's wearing their ties. We went to the moon first. Nixon was not assassinated.
The Indiana Project existed, but it didn't go very far. So it got...
It blew up. They blew up his lab.
Did the boys blow up? The boys didn't blow up.
Yes. No, the boys blew up. Okay, so this is...
Oh.
And if so this is when they talk about the boys like discover the stuff for the time travel device. And all of a sudden it says like the lab blew up and I thought it was their lab, but they start talking about Edward. And they're talking about the 40s again, and now Edward, all this stuff. So they blew up Edward's lab, and then the documentary is taking us from talking about Edward again.
Because in a previous timeline, the Russians blew up the lab to make sure that there wasn't enough evidence for them to rebuild a time machine. At least that was their hope.
But this time, the boys did. And then even in this happy timeline, they do say that Richard had been working on his own project, and then he ends up in a coma, and he's in it forever. So he had done a last second time travel, I think, apparently.
Oh, that's right. They keep talking about how, the time travel kind of puts you in a...
Yeah, it's arguable. One of the things I was reading about this is like, is Richard maybe like kind of the bad guy in this? Is he the one that's like always fucking with time and like kind of set everyone up, you know? Because the dad didn't do... He was just working on a time machine and he just neglected his sons, but... The one who's fucking with time was Richard for the most part, or he's convinced Aiden to.
How long did it take on the last version when the boys know that they invented time travel in a different timeline, but then dad dies?
Yeah, it's after he dies.
How long does it take the boys?
They said specifically in that one, like it didn't take them long because technology was so much better by this point.
Well, that's the weird thing is that dad was still kind of working on it. So if he
hadn't, and then he started, and he was like breaking into their labs and stuff.
Right. So why?
I think he felt bad about the Russians.
But they, exactly. He knew, he kind of figured it out what the Russians were doing. And so that's why he was spending so much time on it, trying to, you know, he didn't want to spend time on it because he knew he was being watched. But then he started to spend time on it because he knew that the survival of Jesus Christ.
The survival of Jesus Christ?
The survival of Jesus Christ.
This took a whole
the survival of non-communist planet Earth was at stake. And the thing I'm getting to is they kept saying that like when the boys found the journal, that's right. They said
then they found out his dad, they realized their dad was right.
Well, and it was what I was getting at was I feel like when the dad died, the technology existed, and how come he didn't realize from looking at his journal that he could do it? But I just realized that there is the boys like don't go back to the house where his parents committed suicide for like 10 years. And so by the time then they go back, they find the journal, and then they realize that all the technology their dad needed was now existed. The Nintendo, the Super Nintendo is now on every shelf in America. Now, the real question I want answered, Scott, is every time they show the Atari, there is a game cartridge in it. What game cartridge allows you to travel through time?
Pitfall.
I think it might. I can't tell what it is.
It was Pitfall.
It was for sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
No.
I'm pretty sure. I knew that cartridge really well, and I'm pretty sure it was Pitfall. Who gets the nerd award now?
Falling in, and you used to fall down little.
I love Pitfall. Again, I gamed into Nintendo, and I kind of stopped there. But I had all the other ones. But for some reason, for me, Pitfall stands a test of like one of the best games of all time. I'm probably in the minority for that. You know, everyone likes this Pac-Man, but for some reason, I thought Pitfall was the jam.
That's where Scott's video game, like that was the peak.
No, I did Nintendo and Genesis also. I mean, I got into Mike Tyson's Punch Out on my day.
Yeah.
But yeah, this film has a lot of smart time travel moments. Like we talked about when they talk about the two different ways of time travel, the thing where Aiden goes back and delivers himself, right? Aiden's a doctor. The mother died during childbirth. He goes back in time as a doctor and delivers himself. That's always a fun concept to play with. They also did the thing, they have some footage where they show old VHS footage of the experiments, and it shows Richard's first experiment at time travel, and he disappears, and then he comes back or whatever, and then like another version of him comes back and he says, no, you need to go back in a minute because there's two of them to make this loop continue.
Explain this to me, Scott.
Okay, I saw it and I get it. So he disappears, he comes back
1 minute into the future,
right?
And then goes,
then there's the other him now, the future him is now here. The one that went 1 minute in the future comes back. He tells him he needs to go back to the past to be the version of him that just told the other one to go back to the past. It's like making a loop. It's like making a knot so the two of them, because that's what this one did. and so that they're not there at the same time. Now, that is a theory that this has happened, has always happened, always will happen, because otherwise that doesn't
make sense.
Why did he
have
sense.
To do that, though?
Because then two of them would have always existed here at the same time. This guy is a product of that. He came here and then went back, had another version of him that said, you got to go back a minute, came back, then he's there a minute. Then when the other one comes, he has to tell him to do that. It's like they're tying they're making the loop so that two of them aren't there at the same time. That's what happened to him, and he needs to make sure that happens to the next guy.
But if he just jumped a minute into the future.
Yeah, the guy from the past was already here. And so the guy from the future, when he appears, has to go into the past to become the guy in the future. It's just tying this loop together.
Okay, hang on. I'm watching it right now.
I mean, they're saying it out loud. They're like, future him, past him becomes future him. Future him has to tell the past him to become future him to do this. They're not showing you. Yeah.
He disappears.
So now the one that you see is the one that goes back a minute.
Oh, because he goes back a minute, not forward.
Yes. So now the one, right. So now the one that came to the future pops in, the one that went back a minute, is telling you have to go back a minute, and he's going to become that guy that then 1 minute later is going to tell the new one that showed up to go back. It's just keeping this. It's like a knot in a loop that you got to keep that loop going.
Because I forget that he goes back, because I was thinking of, because in Back to the Future, that he sent Aini into the future 1 minute.
Right.
And therefore they didn't.
And then there was just no Aini for a minute, but it's still clear. There's not two Ainis at any
now,
point.
If he had sent Einstein back a minute.
There'd be two. And either you got to like have them go back into it, or you're always going to have two Einstein.
No, you kill one of the dogs. Everyone knows that. Can you imagine?
Who wants to live?
That verse.
That's a real Sophie's Choice, the time travel movie.
Doc just puts one in. So now what day does he test the time travel device?
Oh, I love that we each get different ones. I have no idea what day.
November 6th.
Oh, good for you.
Which is in Back to the Future, it's November 5th, but I'm certain that they were close to that.
Yeah, that's not a coincidence.
That was not an accident. Yeah.
No. Consider this film, all these time travel concepts that we're talking about, like about that loop section we just talked about, the delivering yourself as a baby, like the predestination. So here is my point to you, and I ponder this one. They did introduce both time travel methods. I think they support both of them in this film. That thing that guy did is a loop. There's no way. It only could have happened that way because the version of him would never tell another one to go back. He was only there because he did go back. That part is a loop. Like that got erased now, but that part at least was a loop. The other stuff are maybe alternate timelines that have new futures once they change it. It's just a possibility. I'm just saying they brought both of them into it. There's other time travel theories. They didn't do those. They just did this one, these two. And I think they may have shown both.
So
I think there may not be any loopholes here.
So it's a butterfly effect.
Butterfly.
Until something has changed. And then as soon as something is.
That's all erased.
Well,
yeah, you could argue that could be alternate or it could be changing a fixed timeline, but they keep changing this timeline. I don't think they were always supposed to always change it. I think it's an example of both. This is viewers at home. Check it out. We want your opinions of it. Are they just subscribing to one form of time travel in this, or are they subscribing to both? Other cool concept I want to talk about, Des, that they covered all the things we complain about, right? He said the whole thing of like, now this time machine travels in time, not in space.
Yes.
And they talked about how he needed the backpack. They were like, he traveled back and he had to wait in a closet for a day because he didn't want to like have two of him. And he realized he needed to make a backpack so it's mobile, so you're not trapped. And they said you travel in time, not say. I mean, this film covered a lot of the things we're complaining about. It talks about the theory. It's got the device. It does the predestination, the loop where the guy like delivered himself. It shows butterfly effect. It showed that you don't move in time and space. Like all these things we covered, they even talked about the grandfather paradox, how you gave, they use the somewhere in time. You give the watch to your grandfather who like, or gives it to you. Sorry, the grandfather paradox. Where
you
come?
You take a pocket watch back in time, you lose it. Your grandfather finds it, gives it to you as a child.
You give it back to him. Where did it come from?
Where was the, yeah. The
Yeah.
Yeah.
So like these, for a film that is like not the headiest film, right? It's not like Tenet or like, which is like, ooh. They cover a lot of our complaints, a lot of the things we discuss, a lot of concepts of time travel in a really simple hour and 10 minute, low budget, and might I add, poorly acted film.
Is it really that much more poorly activated than any documentary you've seen where they just talk to dickheads who think they know stuff? Oh,
right. You're right. They shouldn't be good actors. I mean, yeah, some of them are better than others.
You know what's funny, though, is unlike, because documentaries, like, they're taking snippets of a conversation, and so it feels a little bit more natural. In this, you can almost see the director going, action. And then they start talk because they're not just taking a snippet of a conversation. They're like, okay, say your sentence now.
The Harvard guy was pretty good. The other people were, you know, less so. I don't know. I got to give this film props. This was an unexpected surprise. You and I, it's a unique take. You and I have not had a mindfuck film. There's a lot to chew on. They cover most of these concepts. And I think the holes are pretty limited the more that we're talking this out.
It really is. Like, I can't think. Barry's website. What's it called?
This is Barry.
This is Barry. I need to know what he said.
I don't think it's on his list. How is this not on Barry's list? Because I want to see his breakdown of it. Slipping, Barry. You need us and we need you. All right. I'm on Barry's website. Let's see if I can look it up. It's called History. He likes mind-bending films. Oh, yeah. He's open to emails, by the way.
What?
Barry, he says, like, please send an email. I always want to talk at... Oh, no, he's talking about his email list.
He doesn't want to talk to us.
Best time travel movies. I wonder if his ranking might have changed. Because we looked through the top 100. This film was not in there.
No.
I don't think it is.
Wow. We'll have to start communicating with... I mean, we need to just get Barry on this podcast. There's no doubt about it.
The more we're talking about it, the more I'm getting, like, impressed with this film.
Absolutely.
It just goes to show you can be smart and low, and you could...
I really enjoyed this movie, but I thought this conversation was going to drag my rating down. And it totally has not. And at a mere 72 minutes, this is going to be, I'm going to rewatch this one before I rewatch.
Oh, yeah. We didn't talk about Desmond likes things to be like hour 28, hour 20, even better. You know, this is.
Do you want to hear the sad story?
This is your jam. Yeah.
It still took me 2 sittings to get through this movie.
Fair. Yeah. It took me many sittings.
My life is a fucking nightmare.
That's for a different podcast. By the way, Des, we should look in the Barry list. There's still a few in the top 80 we haven't done.
Yeah, we need to clean up that. That'll be maybe. Okay. That's what we'll do, Scott. We're going to watch all of the movies on Barry. We're going to make.
Change our podcast. We'll call it Barry's Disciples.
Well, there's probably only 10 on there we haven't seen by now.
Yeah.
So we watch those 10 and then we do our own ranking and then we get Barry on and fight it out.
However, Barry's got Manadu at 26. So, you know, we got to talk Barry. And how do you not have this film on there? Ooh, 19 is Blood Punch. How have we not done one in the top 20? I think things might have changed.
If Blood Punch. How do we not even know about these movies?
There's another film, a Spanish film called Mirage Durante la Tormentor. That's number 11.
Okay, Barry, you're not slipping anymore. We are officially the one slipping.
We got to keep up with our Barry.
We do. Especially if he slips one in the top 20, like Jesus.
Yeah.
He still thinks the that one is...
The Kimi no Nawa, Your Name is number one.
That's still number one. We'll have to talk about Barry's anime fetish. Let's hear what some other people who did watch this movie think about it.
Yeah.
The whole concept of the movie and the foundation of the documentary is absurd. The history embodied in this documentary is changing as the documentary is being shot. No one notices. The on-screen talent is only talking about the changes that have happened due to the pre-existing time jumps, not while the jumps are occurring. So why is everything changing during the documentary? Absolutely absurd. Mr. Whoever you are, I hope you've listened to this podcast because we have answered your questions.
We're here to help.
We're here to help you clean up your absurdity. Oh, this is awesome.
We'll be your time travel therapist.
Half star. My girlfriend, who was fascinated by this sort of thing, made me sit through this. Oh. So suffice it to say, I'm not the target audience. That said, this complete garbage, I wish I could time travel to go back what I wasted sitting through this. Ooh. The film attempts to imply that characters altered major events of the plot during the filming process by going back and changing them. It's a mishmash of infuriating proportions.
Wow. Yeah, you got to consider how to take this.
Oh, I don't see why anyone would want to make, would want to watch a fake documentary. Presenting fiction as fact is just more BS at a time when conspiracy theories are motivating deadly attacks. Hard pass. These are just a lot of people I don't want to hang out with.
What did that score on Rotten Tomatoes?
60. Let's see what, I think it's 69. 69, dude.
Huh.
And no critics have done. These are all viewers. The critics have shown a hard pass on this.
Yeah. Okay. So we've ranked our top 20, haven't we? Yeah, we have.
Yeah.
I might put this one at like 29. I might put it in the top 30. I don't know.
Oh, I thought you were going to try to squeeze this into our pre-existing 20.
Oh.
Come on, Scott, have some.
I don't think I can. I don't know. I guess I'd have to look at it. I mean, I don't know. You know what this film has? I would say the rewatchability factor of like films we like, of like A Hot Tub Time Machine, you know, this doesn't have. It's not enjoyable to watch over and over again, but it's smart. It covers a lot of theory. It's unique. It's creative. And it's got minimal loopholes, which that's very rare. There's nothing in all the films we've reviewed. I would say the ones that we've said, hey, there's no holes in this, there's maybe two or three at best.
Yeah. And I don't even know, like, if we watch it again, because
I think Interstellar might be holeless.
Because, well, the problem with Interstellar is it gets a little fantastical too.
Yes, because he goes through time and space through the wormhole, which is another dimension. It's not fully scientific, but there's films that are not scientific, like going in the closet to time travel, and they have holes. You know what I mean? There's still plot, just storytelling plot holes.
Yeah, yeah.
And some Back to the Future's got so many holes. It's fucking Swiss cheese.
So what we're gonna do, Scott? We're gonna film this movie. We're going to film the dramatic version of this movie.
Okay.
And see, and that will help. Oh, I do want to say, I keep forgetting to mention it. At the very beginning of the movie, they're panning across an office.
Yeah.
The clock in that office is ticking backwards.
Awesome. You know, even between you and me, I'm sure we have not gotten all of the Easter eggs in this.
No way.
And that's fun for a college film. That's fun.
Just like, yeah, you could go. Yeah, take a screenshot of every interview in this and compare it. I could probably, I'm not going to do this because this is for another time, but I think I could squeeze this in my top 20.
Wow.
Like, because my last, as much as I love these movies, if one of these moved to 21, I wouldn't be sad. If Needle in a Time Stack or Time Freak jumped to 21.
Do you see my list currently?
I do.
What's my, like 13 through 20?
Looper?
Yeah, I gotta keep it.
Hot Tub Time Machine, Time Crimes, FAQ, Days of Future Past, Terminator, Time Traveler's Wife, and Palm Springs.
Okay, this could beat Palm Springs. This could beat FAQ, probably. I mean, it's enjoyable, but...
Your bottom 20 looks like my top 10, so...
Time Traveler's Wife... could go.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. I think maybe this should go into 20. I think that its science is really good and fun for you and I to find this like hidden gem. We have not had that. Most things are well known or like are just not that exciting.
Yeah.
This is fun. This is why we do this. You know, there's a point where you get burnt, you get fried. We've seen it all. And there's still gems buried in the pile.
And I love it too, doubly, because this movie got better as we talked about it. Like that is such a treat for this show and this concept and all of those things. And it makes me sad because we had to do our class project, not our final, not my senior project. My freshman project was a documentary. And the fact that I didn't think of something like this, of a mockumentary. I ended up filming a great documentary. I wouldn't take that back. I got everyone out there, if you're curious, I got to go inside Tippett Studios and interview a bunch of special. I got to meet Phil Tippett and shake his hand and talk to him next to a RoboCop robot. So like, you know, everything is good. But the fact that, you know, I wasn't thinking four-dimensionally, for lack of a better term, in my idea of what a documentary could be.
Well, I was looking up Ricky Kennedy. I was like, so this is...
Oh, yeah.
this is pretty visionary for a college film. And unfortunately, he didn't get to make that many movies. He's best known, he's like three movies. This one called A Year From Now, one called The Line. I haven't heard of these. And if I looked him up, you see him on LinkedIn. He's a senior specialist visual media at Austin State. Like, he's working at the university. I don't know how, like, I've seen worse films than this. And these, they just, like, a director does a music video. They're like, hey, let's give you this action film. Let's give you a Star Wars film. Fuck it. And this guy didn't get offered more?
Yeah, it sure seems like, this seems like the kind of guy that, like, at least, like, would get some punch-up jobs. You know, he's obviously got an interesting way of looking at stuff. And for him to not be, you know, fifth billed on a writing team or something on something kind of well known.
He's done a few low budget films. The Town That Dreaded Something, A Year From Now. Oh, no, he got roped in. It looks like it's a Hallmark Christmas film.
A Year From Now?
Oh, no, it's a horror. It's called Don't Open Till Christmas.
Ooh.
Looks like a horror film?
Oh, my God.
What?
His movie, his other directed movie, A Year From Now, in a twist on A Christmas Carol and Groundhog Day, a woman experiences 7 years of her future over the course of 1 week.
Oh.
Fuck yes.
Man. Now, here's the question. Do we do it soon because we're eager because we like this guy, or do we save it for Christmas?
We'll figure out if we can find it.
Yeah.
And then we'll go from there. But Ricky,
put that on the list.
Yes, it is.
Anyway,
we will get to A Year From Now. We may get to it a year from now during next year's holiday season, or we might get to it sooner than later because we got to get to know Ricky Kennedy. But forget about the future, Scott. What time is it now?
Oh,
what time is it right now?
So it's obviously got to be a high score. We have, again, we should like equate what our factors are, right? There's like the science, the creativity, the uniqueness, the watchability. Is it fun?
But the thing for me is it changes.
Yeah, everything except watchability. The uniqueness has got me.
Some things are like, this was really fun to watch, but I don't care. Or the science of this was solid, but I'll...
What's my highest score so far since we've been scoring? Because it's like, I don't know, this deserves to be...
Because I'm going to do something that I probably shouldn't do when I rate stuff. I'm going to rate this on potential.
Wait a minute. You could rate every movie on that.
I know, but that's why I say it. It changes. It's kind of like...
I want to know what my top rated film is. I'm just curious.
Okay.
It's probably Bodies.
9:30 is Bodies. Yep. And then 9 o'clock is Loki. And then 8:45 is South Park. 8:50 is American Dad.
Okay, so it's above South Park. Yeah, we could stop there. We know this is in the nines or higher.
Groundhog Day is 9.
Man, is it better than Bodies? Maybe it is.
Yeah.
Do you know where you're going? Score-wise?
Wow, I guess... Like, I want to put it above that, but I don't... God, I gave Groundhog Day a 10:30. Wow.
Do I put this above Loki? God, I think it was clever, though. I don't know. Crap.
So I said last time that, like, double digits, I have to save, like, even if a movie is fucking great, if I'm not, like 10 o'clock is when you really get into platinum shit.
Yeah, you could almost argue that all of our top 20 should be within 10 to 12, right?
Top 10.
Okay.
Top 10. Top. You can
definitely top 10.
By the time you get into the 20s, you can just, a fun to watch movie doesn't necessarily need to get an 11 o'clock just because it's
all right.
Like Hot Tub Time Machine. That's not an 11 o'clock. It's a fun.
So maybe
fun movie to watch.
Right.
I'm going to go straight. This movie is, like I said, based on what I said last time, based on for the most part, enjoyed watching this movie, but then this conversation has really exploded. I'm going to put this right on the line at 10:01. Like, this is, you know, we got to get into double digits because this is unique. It's fun. It's short. it doesn't have a lot of holes.
I'm scared to do 10. I'm thinking 9:55. But it's debatable if it should be 10 or not.
Well, I think 9.55 is good because there's a dramatic version of this movie.
Yeah.
That is a 10.05. And so if you want to put the documentary reenaction version of this movie just below that.
Yeah. All right. So this means you and I, first of all, we've agreed it's our highest scored item.
No.
Oh, wait. No, is Groundhog Day as high
Groundhog
as for you?
Day.
We both scored high. This is
so high.
And since we've been measuring this and doing the what's the time, this is like really surprised us. And for both of us, it went if top two. So that's a wow.
Yeah, but see, that's impressive. That's weird. Would this movie go in your top 10, though? See, that's why I'm saying, like, does rating.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying.
Necessarily equate.
Groundhog Day is still, although the science is not there, it's just a classic, very rewatchable film. And so this is not exact. This is like looking for an apartment. It's like the yard could make up for the fact that the bedrooms are tiny or the parking, you know, whatever. So like the rewatchability of other film might be so good, it beats out good science or creativity. And that happens. It's not that exact. We don't have like a numerical scale that we stick to that exactly. We go by our guts.
Yeah, this is an in the moment. And like I still like I look at Groundhog Day and I'm like, woo, that was an in the moment rating. That was I was jacked up on caffeine and having a good time that day.
Yeah.
But that's okay. I'll
Well, thank you, Ricky Kennedy. You know, we think this is underrated.
I hope you got valedictorian.
Yeah.
Like this is a brilliant idea. Well,
I hope he finds the podcast and hears us.
Absolutely. This is the kind of movie that we get emails occasionally, people, and they're usually from these
independent filmmakers. Yeah.
These little independent filmmakers who, you know, like Steven Spielberg does not have a Google alert for his name. But, you know, if you've made two movies and you have a small IMDb page, you want to know when people are talking about you. So. Hopefully Ricky Kennedy will hear about this and we'll put out there. I'll say it out loud to kind of hold our feet to the fire. We do want to do an episode soon where we talk about some of those letters because the people, most of them were kind enough to actually, you could tell they actually listened to the episode. They didn't just see that we talked about it and thanked us. Like they listened to it and they helped us plug some of the holes in our conversation. So that's really, really cool.
Yeah.
And I look forward to talking about that later. Until next time, I'm Desmond McNeese.
And I'm Scott Lifton. See you in the past, but we won't remember it.
This podcast will be different if you listen to it in the future past of the past of our future before Ashton Kutcher went back in time and had sex with his mom. What's that movie about again? Now that you're all caught up on Time Pop, check out patreon.com/soundsawesome, where $3 will get you our whole lineup of exclusive podcasts. That's right, $3 gets you 12 exclusive podcasts. That's not $3 a podcast. $3 gets you all of them and puts you in prime position to continue and receive an exclusive podcast every 2 weeks at patreon.com/soundsawesome. Speaking of things kind of like something that could wind up on our Patreon someday, are you watching The Three Body Problem?
No, I hear it's pretty great.
It is. We're Kelly and I are barely into it, but it's like it's going places and I'm along for the ride. Fucking call me Yoda, motherfucker.
Yoda, motherfucker.
Mixed and edited by Desmond McNeese for We Mixed It, LLC. Go to whatsoundsawesome.com.